This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:19, Friday the 5th of August, and of course you're listening to The Morning Run. Now in about 30 minutes, we'll be speaking to Hawati Abdul Hamid from Khazana Research Institute on Elderly Care. But in the meantime, let's talk about vanishing beaches, because about 70% of Malaysians live in coastal zones which have special social, economic and environmental significance, as these are centres of economic activities encompassing agriculture, fisheries, oil and gas exploration, exploitation, logistics, transportation and tourism.
Yeah, the maritime industry in Malaysia alone contributes to about 40% of the country's GDP. Malaysia has a land area of 330,000 square kilometres and has about 4,800 kilometres of coastline, which is 13% of the total land area, yet more than 15% of our beaches have been lost. So according to the National Coastal Erosion Study done in 2015, a total of 44 beaches in the country have experienced critical erosion of over 4 metres a year. Currently, the coast of Selangor and Batu Pahat have experienced severe coastal erosion, recording a total eroded area of approximately 1,900 hectares and 400 hectares respectively.
Now, it's not only that we are losing beaches, but the erosion also has an economic cost to the country. So like in 2007, coastal flooding in Johor due to erosion had caused an estimated damage of 350 million ringgit. And there was 2.4 billion of economic losses, displacing 110,000 people. So to join us on the line to shed some light on the impact of coastal erosion is Associate Professor Dr. Effie Helmi Arifin, Deputy Director of the Institute of Oceanography and Environment at the University of Malaysia, Terengganu. Good morning, Dr. Effie. Now, coastal erosion, I think it's part of the natural coastal cycle. But why is it such a problem now?
Thank you for inviting me to give some opinion about the coastal erosions. Okay, actually, we have two kind of influence. The main thing is natural phenomena. And then the second one is human activities, creating the wave and currents. And then the wave and current is very important on the coastal cycles, because the wave and the current cause loss of sediment and then it influence coastal erosions.
Could you please share with us the current coastal erosion condition in Malaysia?
Yeah, actually we have a two series of study. The latest one, National Coastal Erosion, on 2015. Mostly 15% of the 8,040 kilometers shoreline currently are eroding. Not just on the urban area, and then mostly not urban area, also the erosion are coming because the natural phenomena and also the human activities. But the increasing of erosions, not just in Malaysia, I think worldwide have the erosion issues.
But I'm curious, how is climate change actually affecting the speed of coastal erosion?
Yeah, mostly in worldwide, we have a erosion issue because of climate change. And then actually, mostly in Malaysia, we just aware about sea level rise. The water level increase, slowly increase, and then make higher wave. But we're not aware about the storm surge. So two main things we need to aware about the climate change, the increasing of the melting of Antarctica or ice melting for Antarctica. It can create the sea level rise. And then the same thing on atmospheric system, not stable, and then become more hot, more pressure on the atmospherics and also the on the ocean wave. So it can make it a typhoon and a cyclone. Yeah, we're not in the area of the typhoon and cyclone, but sometimes we still have a part of the typhoon or cyclones. For example, on 2019, a little bit from the Pabut cyclone went to Thailand, and then it can affect the east coast of Malaysia.
So how does coastal erosion affect the surrounding environment then?
Yeah, mostly everybody know about affected on flora and fauna. Not just flora and fauna, also on infrastructure, especially on the coastal area. And then we can see the east coast of Malaysia. Mostly the roads are very close to the beach. So, and then the building also, and then the agriculture also, like in Kuala Selangor or in Perak and also in Kedah. When saltwater intrusions and then can be changed on salinity of the water on coastal area. So they basically not just effect on flora and fauna, also on our activities for the humans.
Now, we know coastal zones are home to large communities, and of course, there are important economic and social activities taking place along these coastal areas. So, what is the consequence of coastal erosion to then these communities and important activities?
It can be different on the East Coast and on the West Coast. Mostly, the East Coast small-scale fishermen are affected from the erosion because they need to park the boats on the beach. Compared to in West Coast, they have a proper jetty or they can park around the rivers and also around the estuaries. And then affected on the incomes or the fishermen. And then also, I mentioned in the West Coast that have affected on sanity, the saltwater erosion from the sea to the land. And then mostly agriculture in Kuala Selangor are affected. That's why they need to have mitigations.
So we know the coastline is going to change anyway. What are the main priorities and challenges in stopping the sea from doing what it has been doing for millions of years and will continue to do so anyway?
Oh yeah, we need to practice on mitigation and also the adaptations. So how to mitigate and then how or when we need to adapt. So the strategy is normal practice on many countries. They make the hard and the soft coastal protection strategies. And then mostly on ad hocs, they make it a hard coastal structures. For example, they make the reef embankment or the sea walls. And then when they have a proper mitigations, they need to study before how this area need to resolve or hard coastal protection, or they need to mix together. Basically, they need to study the hydrodynamic first, the wave and the current pattern in there, and then how the sediment supply and the sediment transports.
Yeah, but altering one place to defend against the sea usually can cause problems elsewhere. So is there any way erosion prevention can be done without affecting other parts of the coast then?
Yeah, like I mentioned previously about the studies on how to mitigate or how to adapt the situations. So sometimes the hard coastal structure is not a good solution for this area. And then sometimes the soft, like beach nourishment, is not better beach recovery. But how is it? We need to study, we need to mitigation the coastal morphology there, how the wave and then how the currents. And then is it the places have it's a good strategy. We just put the rocks or the hard rocks, like the revetment as well, because sometimes it can be the erosion can move to the northward or to move to the southwards. And then sometimes we put the hard rocks like revetments, but we need to implement the bridge nourishment. For my ideas, when the hard coastal structure is not the good solution in there, we need to just leave it, because normally the beach cycle or the erosions can be recovery after, but it depends on the situations.
So we know a total of 168 million ringgit was allocated for coastal erosion management projects under the 12 Malaysia plan. Are these projects actually working?
Okay, actually the government very take serious about the erosions, but sometimes the government allocate some money and then the situation of the erosions become more worsening because the way or the time is not as a great times. Because for example, in East Coast, they make adaptation or mitigations during the storms. So and then after that, the erosion are more worsening. So the budget is not enough. The previous budget is not enough to protect the existing erosions. So mostly we need to implement the erosion, not just the time of our plannings, but we need to also care, or we need to understand or imagine how it can be more worsening after we implement. So the budget is need to before and then during and then after the erosion, we need to care.
But Dr. Effie, I mean, in February 2020, Singapore announced a new coastal and flood protection fund, with an initial injection of $5 billion in comparison. So do you think the Malaysian government's allocation is enough?
Singapore is like an island, right? So compared to Malaysia, so we have many places lowlands, and then we have a headlands. So sometimes we need to cover just on a part. But in Singapore, if they don't tackle one part, they will be effect around the Singapore. Yeah. Yeah, the budget also we need to study again. Is it enough for that?
All right, thank you for your time. That was Associate Professor Dr. Effie Helmi Arifin. He is the Deputy Director at the Institute of Oceanography and Environment at the University of Malaysia, Terengganu, telling us the importance of having some remedial policy in terms of, I don't know whether you can claim back the beaches, but at least prevent further erosion.
It's really a real thing. I mean, I go back to Kota Bharu at least twice a year, and I've been doing so since I was a kid. And I was one place that we always visit was what used to be called Pantai Cinta Berahi, the beach of passionate love. But after PAS came, there was no passionate love. It was just Pantai. Yeah, it's just called Pantai Cahaya Bulan, but it's still PCB. It used to be a gorgeous beach with nice sand and everything.
Does it still exist, or has the sea claimed it back?
It's still there, but it's no longer a nice beach anymore. It doesn't have that much sand anymore. And yeah, I mean, it's just sad to see.
And with a budget of 168 million according to the 12 Malaysia plan, is that enough, you know? I think, are we doing enough to actually keep our beaches? I think that's the question we should ask. But up next, we'll be finding out how ASEAN banks are doing in this region. That's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.